Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, July 7th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, as is normally the case. I'm your host, the Miracle Man. And I'm so glad that you could join us tonight, wherever you may be, however you may be tuning in, whether you're using the website or you Googled us, maybe, or you've called in the number to listen. Either way, regardless of how you found us, we're so glad you found us, and we're ready to bring you the word of the Lord tonight, as well as to, you know, have discussion like we always do, kind of about what's going on, what am I up to. Sometimes we talk about some things that are coming up. But regardless, you know, it's always great every time I get to come on the air like this, live like this, get to do a show, and then to impart things to you. Tonight, I'm going to be dealing with the rapture. I started a series on Tuesday, dealing with events of the end times. On Tuesday, we dealt with the mark of the beast. Tonight, we're dealing with the rapture. Tomorrow night, we're going to deal with the tribulation. And we're going to deal with hell. And we're going to deal with heaven. And then we're going to deal with the thousand-year reign. And so it's going to be, it's a great series, and I hope you stick around for it. And I purposely have decided to do it kind of in order of how these events will happen. Obviously, hell and heaven, where you go, depends on, you know, how you live your life, if you gave your life to Jesus and what have you. But hell lasts just as long as heaven. You need to realize that. And then the reason I dealt with the mark of the beast first is because I don't know where into that all fits in. I wasn't sure if it would be during the tribulation or before the tribulation, like during the beginning of sorrows or whenever. But I do know the rapture happens before the tribulation, according to the Word of God. And so, from here on out, I'm sticking to chronological order of where these events happen. Because we're in the last days, and I want you to be prepared. Knowing that we do not know. No, I'm going to move on. Because if I say what I'm about to say, if I say everything now, that I want to say about it, then I won't have as much to say about it when I get into the work. So, anyhow, just to let you guys know, because I care about you listeners, just want to let you know, anyone lives in the southern part of Michigan is under a heat advisory today and tonight, and an excessive heat watch tomorrow and Thursday. Highs in the mid-90s, heat indices could approach 105 degrees. And chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow as well as Thursday. And then obviously likely, I don't mean like obviously, like just because it's Friday, you know what I mean? But I mean they will be likely on Friday, which is why we don't have, even for the southern part of Michigan, we don't have any heat bulletins for Friday as of right now. But play it safe, play it smart. Obviously, if you're outside, that's probably the worst time to wear a mask outside, Megan, is when there's a heat advisory, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Out there. Like, that's the last time to wear a mask. Like, if you're... like on one of those days, that's the last place you should wear a mask is outside. Like if you're going to be outside for any length of time over the next couple days, even up here where I'm at, we're going to be kind of on the fringe. Who knows? They might issue one tomorrow or Thursday. Kind of depends, I think. Like I said, be smart, drink water. We should not drink water, but I mean drink plenty of water. Go to the beach if you want or whatever. Stay cool. If you can time when you work outside, like when you have to like work outside, only do it in like the morning or the evening because when you add that humidity to it, makes it rough. Heat is one thing to me, but you add a bunch of humidity to it, then it can be rough. And today I didn't even think it was all that bad. Maybe that has to do with the fact that I was in Florida a few weeks ago, maybe. And there were heat indices there were dew points that were like at almost 80. It was 91, and the heat index was like 106. Whereas even if we hit like 95, 96, the dew point would probably, the feels like would be like 105 at the highest. Which would mean possibly hotter than when it was in Florida, but less humid. But not all of you are me. Not all of you were in Florida a month ago. Like I was. So that means obviously everybody's body is going to take it different. Because, of course, hot is still hot. I'm not going to argue about it. Just want you to do your common sense things that you do on extremely hot days. And speaking of heat, I'm actually someone that kind of likes studying this topic when it comes to our summers here in Michigan. And with this heat wave, by the time Friday comes, it looks like Detroit, you will possibly hit, if you hit 90 on Friday, which I think there's a good chance you and Detroit will. We probably will not up here. But if Detroit does, that ninth 90-degree day will make it like the second or third longest stretch of 90-degree days in history dating back to like 1900 or so. Now you say, well, Miracle Man, we've had all these days in the high 80s in June and the three in May. Yes, we have. But for most of us in the cities, like most of like tri-cities on south, most of our cities have had, we have to have 30 days or more of 90-degree heat to be in the top 10. Right now, we're at 6 in a row, and about 9 or 10. Maybe like 11 in some places. As far as days over 86, 87 to 89 is my definition of high 80s. Wait a minute, let me think here. Like 79, 80, that's around 80. 81 to 83 is low. 84 to 86 is medium. 87 to 89 is high. We have had about like 24 days or so already of high 80s or higher. And Megan, don't you think that's a lot for only being a July 6th, don't you think?
Yeah.
Not only is that a lot, but by Michigan standards, that's a lot for an entire season, isn't it? Because normally it should be like, I would say, on average, 8 days of 90 plus, especially for Detroit area, 8 to 10 plus, I would say an additional 6 to 8 days of like 86 to 89. That makes sense, doesn't it? So about like 17 days, so just a little over 2 weeks. Not for the entire year. Right now we're at about 3 weeks worth, all of which have come basically between Memorial Weekend and right now, within the space of 30 plus 6 plus our first upper 80s day was the 25th of May. 30 plus 6 plus 7. Actually today's the 6th year, the 7th, so 7, 30, 37, 44 days. And generally, half of those have been 87 or hot, have been 86, 87 or higher. Especially downstate. You're going to say, Megan, that sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So half the days, and we still have all of July. We still have 24 days of July, all 31 days of August left. So 55, Labor Day is late. So we still have generally about 60 more days left. And so that is pretty insane that we've already had like 20, close to 25 upper 80s and higher, and we're not even halfway through the summer season yet. That's pretty insane, Megan, isn't it?
Yeah.
You say, how many more of these days do you think they're going to be? most of the 10-day forecast has mainly upper 80s and low 90s in it. A couple days of mid 80s. So of the 9 days after today, about seven. So there you'll be about a month's worth. And then after that, who knows? So we'll just take a wait and see. But smart. Only you know the limits of your body. So just be smart about it. But I prefer studying the heat waves of the past rather than the cold waves. Because when I study the cold waves, I almost feel cold. Almost. Goes to show you, when you live in Michigan, how crazy variable the weather can be. And I know in the South it gets hotter than that and all that stuff. But at the same time, you don't have as much of those extreme lows in the winter. So our variability is quite extreme when you think about it. Moving along. So today I was at a beach that I had found in my about 25 minutes from where I live here in Midland, this beach over in Bay City. Actually, I had been reading reviews from some people that were not being so kind to it over the years, but I'd also seen some good reviews. My local city beach here, unfortunately, was closed due to a bacteria count. But when I went there, it was actually a very big, long beach. Much of it is very sandy. Just when you get out towards the buoys, it's a little mucky. But other than that, it's nice big beach, Bay City State Park area. And something funny happened. I ran into my old principal from my middle school, and her daughter, who was a teacher at Midland High, while I was there, and she is still there now. And I reminded my old principal of something she used to say on the announcements at the end of most school days. Normally, at the end of the announcement, she would say, "And that's all for today." It was kind of funny. And I reminded her of that. And then when I left her, she said that to me, and I thought it was kind of funny. Because different people say different things. And there was a teacher at Midland High who the high school that I went to, and on Wednesdays he would do the chemic salutes. He would take the announcements generally away from Dr. Brzee, my principal, and he would do the chemic salutes. And, of course, when he'd come on Wednesday, he'd say, "Good morning, Midland High. Hey, blue and gold, chemic pride is a very special tradition." And at the end, of course, he would say, "Let's make it a good one." I like that, Megan, don't you? Let's make it a good one. You've never heard that one before, have you?
I have heard that before.
Did your principal used to say that or no? She didn't necessarily have one that she said every day at the end of the announcements, did she?
Right.
Like the "that's all for today" or whatever.
Yeah, they say stuff like that or "have a good day."
Because I think a lot of schools do that, because towards the end of that, it's like I think the kids kind of remember that. And as I know, my school in my middle school, and that my middle school she did, and then my high school had something special that they did on Fridays. He'd tell us not to drink and drive. We're fine just the way we are. To keep 20 cents in your pocket, we want to talk with you on Monday, not about you. See the light. Enjoy your weekend. Remember, it's all right to be a little bit crazy. Just don't do anything stupid. Have a good day. And I know, my purple used to say sometimes he would be like, she'd be like, oh, he's being kind of crabby today. And then I'd be like, okay. But I don't think he was being crabby. I think he was making a point. We shouldn't do anything dumb. And it's something. I think it's something. It's wild, like how much your principal like will reach out to you like that just through the announcement. And different people like that. And I was talking to a teacher that was at my high school. I didn't say one of my former teachers because I didn't have her as a teacher. But I was talking to her about what she thought about how it would be if there were, we did football in the spring. She gave her opinion, and I was like, basically said, as long as the band's there and the cheerleaders and all that, and how that would end up working. And she said, I think they're really trying to do it in the fall. And I really hope so. I really, truly hope so. What I really don't want to see is the no season at all. I would be devastated if they did that, because, like I told you, I love going to those games, hearing all the kids, see it, you know, watching the band and all that. And so you just have to wait and see. Let me just check my clock. All right. Now, really quick. I want to encourage you with a word of our sponsor real quick before we sing a couple songs and open up the Word of God. I want to remind you that on a hot day like today, you can always go to your local McDonald's and grab yourself an icy cold Coke for the low price of just $1 a piece. Also, while you're there, if you got the app on your phone, there are certain deals that it could say only for you. One of mine is that you can get 40% off daily, 40% off any size McFlurry or shake, which comes in really handy on a day like this. I mean, really handy. Kind of beats waiting for a million people at your local ice cream parlor. Because there's probably a million people there, maybe 2 million. Because it's 150 degrees. Okay, I was exaggerating on both ends. But there's a lot, and it's a lot of degrees out. Because today it was like 92, 93. But swing through your local McDonald's for the simple joy of summer. And I'm loving it. On a serious note, I want to remind you guys to please continue to do your homework assignments. that I've been assigning to you over the past few months. These are not necessarily in order of importance, but I just try to list them. Number one, every day read Psalm 23 out loud to your family so they can hear it. Number two, read Psalm 91 every day, again, preferably out loud so those in your house can hear it. Number three, every day at high noon, set an alert on your phone and curse this virus and curse the spirit behind it, the demon behind it, the governess in my state today. She just said, I was not happy when I saw this. She said, if I have to lock it down, if the case count continues to go up, I'll lock it back down. And I was like, what? Really? Really? I couldn't believe my ears when I heard that. So when I heard that, when I saw that, when I heard that, because I was like, we have to pray. And so, like I said, we have to curse this thing. We have to bind the spirit behind it, bind Koran, the demon behind this. And we have to curse stupid, which I had told you, Megan, that stupid was what caused these lockdowns, because in my theory and his, you know, they are stupid.
Yeah.
So that's a good name for the spirit then in that case, don't you think? Stupid.
Right.
So that's why we, because I will admit, listeners, as we were opening back up, I will admit, listeners, I was getting so grateful that we were opening back up, you know, and that it made it easy to maybe not be praying as fervently to bind stupid in Koran. But when I heard this and what I've seen, what's been going on and other places the last couple days and weeks, and I was like, we really have to get back to that. We have to, and bind it, and calling that virus dead, which I've been doing that. The other thing, like about the lockdown, I'll admit, you know, we have to get back to binding the spirit of Koran and binding stupid. Amen. So, just want to remind you to do all that. Again, Psalm 23 daily, Psalm 91 daily, and then daily at noon, we're binding the coronavirus and the spirits behind it. And starting tomorrow, so that I never forget, I'm going to set an alarm, a daily alarm, that'll go off at 12 o'clock every day. And it'll alert me. So that I'll do it. What about Sunday? Well, church goes after, still going after 12 o'clock. Just silence your alarm. When church gets out, just take a second, look up to heaven, curse that virus. Well, I'm in a meeting at noon on my job. Well, same thing. Because we have to call this thing dead. Amen. Now, I'm going to sing a couple of songs, and then we're going to open up the Word of God to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to be referring to some other verses tonight that talk about the rapture. And so, it's going to be good. I hope you're ready. So, but like I said, first we're going to sing. You're the God of this city. You're the God of this people. You're the God of this nation. You are. You're the God of this city. You're the hope of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. You're the God of this city. You're the hope of this people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in the darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. There is no one like you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done. We believe in you, God. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this today. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this today. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things are still to be done here. Greater things are still to be done here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. When I call, no, when I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You deliver me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life. By grace I'm free. You've rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost. Now I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you whom I trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Oh, Lord. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Oh, Lord, I'm alive in you. Lord, I'm alive in you. When I call on your name, you answer. I will trust. It is you whom I trust at all times. You deliver me out of my darkness. Now I stand at the hope of new life. By grace I'm free. You've rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, but now I'm alive in you. Oh, Lord. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, but now I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you. I'm alive in you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come before you tonight. We give you praise and honor and glory and adoration, admiration. We just thank you, Lord God, for everything you've done for us, everything you've done, everything you're going to do, everything you've already done, and everything you're doing right now. We just love you. We just honor you tonight in our homes, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. Thank you, Lord God, for this time in the Word tonight, that you just bless our time in the Word as we talk about your coming to get us out of here. We live in the last of the last days. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is upon us. And your hand is on our life. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you are working on the inside of us. And just thank you, Lord God, that your will be done in us. And I give you permission, Lord God, to do whatever you want to do tonight. Interrupt me as you wish, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you that you use me tonight as an oracle as I deliver your word. And help these listeners to tune in, to be focused on you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name. I make my confession over this program tonight. Thank you that sponsors and partners are coming in, that finances are coming into this program, that increases in big-time increases in listenership are coming into this program. And most of all, Lord Jesus, I give you praise and honor and glory for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 Praise God. Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 15. I want to encourage you to whatever I do for the next while, go ahead and follow along. I sing, you sing. I pray, you pray. I shout, you shout. And just whatever I do, you do. And be engaged. Be a part. That's how you're going to get the most out of this. Amen. One Corinthians 15. We're going to begin in verse 1. Amen. The Lord's so good to us. Yes, He is. So we're just giving you a minute to get there. I have found it, so now I shall begin to read. Now, brothers, or you could say, folks, ladies and gentlemen. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel that I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you. As of first importance, as Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to us. He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, even though some have fallen asleep. In other words, they died. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also. As to one abnormality born. For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the Christ of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified to God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruit, then when he comes, those who belong to him, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now, when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? And I die every day. Every man brothers, just as surely as I glory over ever Christ Jesus, our Lord, if I brought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained? If the dead are not raised, quote, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. Verse 35. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed. Perhaps with wheat or with something else, but God gives it a body, as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind splendor, the moon another, the stars another. Every star differs from another star in splendor. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was with the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. I declare to you, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal, immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The king of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I want to tell you, I want to talk to you about this rapture thing. So, those of, you know, when we were born, we were born of water. The Bible says that we must be born again. Jesus said in John, we must be born again. Of course, you can't be born again unless you're born of water. You have to first be born of water, and then you're born again after you decide for yourself to be a Christian. It is required that one accept their life, that Jesus as their Lord and Savior. That is a requirement in order to make heaven. That is the requirement. Not optional. Required. And then, that wasn't in this chapter. That was in previous chapters of the Bible. And what I read you talked about, you know, the immortal, the mortal, the perishable, and the imperishable. We all have a natural body, but then when we get to heaven, it'll be a spiritual body. Can't wait till when I get to the heaven part of the series and I'll get to talk about it. Going to be good, and there's going to be joy in it. And there'll be a story in that. That's kind of about a game that I play, and I'll ask a certain question. You say, what is it, Miracle Man? Well, you have to wait until I teach on heaven, and I'll reveal it to you. until then, I'm not going to reveal this rapture thing. In Thessalonians, Jesus said that when Jesus comes, he will come from descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You say, what does that mean, the dead in Christ? That means those who died already. Those who have died. The living will go up with him after the dead. The living will come after the dead. And when the rapture happens, we will receive, like I said, this heavenly body. And it will be beautiful. Beautiful. And I've heard a book where this guy is in heaven for a time. God, like, takes him to heaven. He lets him see in heaven to a degree. And then he talks about what he saw. And it's beautiful. But also tonight I'm going to deal with what you should do if you miss the rapture. You see, Jesus told us to watch and pray. He told us to watch and pray. For the rapture. As you see the day coming closer, watch and pray. He also said, occupy till I come. So that doesn't mean that you should just sit there, look at your watch, look at your date calendar on your phone, and then try to play a guessing game to see what day he's going to come and get us out of here. And whoever guesses right gets the first donut in heaven. No, that's not how it works. That'd be something if it worked that way, though, right, Megan?
Yeah.
If you guess the right day and it comes, you get the first donut.
Awesome.
I know. You get the first hot donut. Nope, it's not how it works. Because Jesus said, we will not know the day or the hour. It'll be like a thief in the night. Like that thief that comes, maybe the alarm goes off, maybe it doesn't, maybe it's broken, maybe your dog ate it. If he ate it, you'd have to wonder why he's not beeping, right? You would think that when the bark goes off, then it'd be like, beep, 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 beep. I know, right? Because otherwise that alarm would be going off in his belly. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I'd be able to know it. But anyhow, you know, and if we're asleep, we're supposed to wake up and pay attention. As you see, especially as you see the day approaching. And I tell you, listeners, we are so close right now. Folks, if you think this is the last pandemic that we'll ever see, if you think in America this is the last rioting we'll ever see, you are sadly mistaken. In the tribulation, it will be a lot worse. It will be a lot worse in the tribulation. A lot worse. You do not want to be here during the tribulation. Now, I've heard of pastors. I didn't say I've necessarily heard pastors say this, that not really. But I've heard of pastors who say we're in the tribulation right now. I've heard of some who believe, yeah, that we're in the tribulation and he'll come at the end of the tribulation. The way I believe it, the way the Bible shows me, the way I believe it, is that the rapture happens before the tribulation, before the 7 years of tribulation. And then after the tribulation, God puts his foot down, and then we have the 1,000-year reign, where we are on earth with the Lord. And it's the 1,000-year reign. And it's going to be awesome. But then Jesus also said that those who do as I say, and the dead and everything, they shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. That doesn't mean that the Lord's going to come on a cloudy day. Could be a day just like the weather this morning. Could be a day just like the weather this morning. Sun's out all pretty. You know, working its way through the 80s. And all that. Could be a sunny day. Could be a time when it's thundering. But when you hear that trumpet, like I said, it'll be like the voice of an archangel. Folks, that doesn't mean it's going to be Taft or Wrigley or whatever they call that other military alarm thingy, that other military trumpet. Speaking of taps, it's this funny, there's a funny thing. My pastor at the church I go to, he uses taps at the end of his sermon sometimes when his alarm is set. The alarm will go off at a certain time. No, it's not the certain time every service. I try to guess when it's going to go off. And then it goes off. One time he teased and said that when my alarm goes off, that it means that, another one of my sermons dying. Sadly, it wasn't at my home church. It wasn't here at home. Sadly, he did that on the road. I think it'd be funny if he said that here in Midland. Don't you, Megan?
Yeah.
I think a bunch of people would laugh, I'm sure. Especially if they said it right. He said it right while it was going off. Right as he thinks of throwing it. One time he just about threw his alarm because he was kind of jokingly mad about it. Because he wasn't, like, truly mad. He understood that at some point soon he'd have to quit. But he was kind of just being funny, in a funny mood. And so his alarm is going off. And obviously he wishes he could have another hour, another hour or whatever. But it was one of those nights. And he just about jokingly, he did kind of throw it at someone on the front row. And then they kind of hand it back. And it's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny that he threw his alarm, don't you?
Yeah.
But needless to say, that trumpet will not be taps either from Dr. Buckley's phone or my neighbor's phone or anyone else's phone. Furthermore, it will not be on anyone's cell phone. Nope. It'll come from heaven. You'll have the sound of a shout. And it won't be the shout of the football game at any level. It'll be the shout from heaven, the voice of an archangel. The dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That means those who died will die, will rise first. And like I said, Jesus said, watch and pray. He was telling his disciples, watch and pray. As I said before, you will see. I mean, as I said before, Jesus, in his teachings, he talked more about the day we live in than what he talked about the day he lived in. I know, listeners, to you, that might be breaking news. Not that CNN will give it to you. I think they're clueless. They kind of live on another planet. Same thing with MSNBC, ABC, CBS. Some of them don't have a clue. But breaking news, listeners, in case you guys didn't know, sometimes I see the ISOMI, I-C-U-M-I, you know, in case you missed it. I'm sure you've seen the ISOMI headline on your phone before, right, Megan?
What is it?
ISOMI. That means in case you missed it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that before.
Like maybe on Facebook or whatever?
Yeah.
Yep. ISOMI. ISOMI. I'm going to think here. What was I gonna say? ISOMI. Jesus talked more about the day we live in than what he did the day he lived in. And Jesus is very clear about certain people that will not make heaven. Will not make heaven. Will not. If you miss the rapture, what you need to do is you need to pray. Because you do not want to be here after the rapture. It's going to be so ugly. It's going to be so terrible. You think Corona lockdown and these riots are bad? Oh, you ain't seen nothing. Because after the rapture, you will not want to be here on this earth. They will start lining you up. They will start lining you up. And they will ask you, are you a Christian? Yes. Over here, we're going to shoot you. Are you a Christian? Nope. You're free to go. Are you a Christian? 666. Are you a Christian? Yep. Kill it. Are you one? I forget. No, not me saying, are you forget them. You say, like, I don't know who you're talking about, or no, or you deny Jesus. You may live for a little while, but then you'll go to hellfire forever. If you say yes, then you do know him. You get shot. You'll get to go be with Jesus. You'll get to go be with Jesus. Amen. You'll get to go to heaven and be with my Jesus. And be raptured out of here. Amen. And like I said, if you missed it, you'll just have to pray and believe God that they. And if you missed it, why did you miss it? Were you too busy playing around? you missing a bunch of church services? What's going on? Why did you miss the rapture? There are many Christians who think they're right with God. They think they're doing a good job. Maybe they think their church attendance is just okay. There are many of those, or maybe they know that it stinks, but for whatever reason, they won't make it better. That they know Jesus, but they will not be ready. They will not make the rapture. I pray that you're not one of them. I want to see you make the rapture. Because the rapture is real. And it's real hard to do rapture practice. Because Jesus is not going to sit there and say, in 20 minutes, I'm going to have general quarters and I want you to look good and be ready. If he did do that, he said, in 20 minutes, I'm going to come. Just imagine, all our the phone lines would be jammed. All the emails, you couldn't write an email unless you got through. Couldn't get a text through. Because if all the Christians, after being alerted that there was a 20-minute alert, they would all be texting, calling, writing, emailing those who they sinned against trying to repent. Especially if he told them that if you repent in the next 20 minutes, you'll get to come to heaven. Just imagine. So I said, I will come like a thief in the night. That doesn't mean he will come in the night. Jesus said, man does not know the day or the hour. Even the Son does not know. Only the angels do not know. Only the Father knows. Only the Father knows when he will come. Now, for now, we're supposed to occupy until he comes.
We've got 8 minutes left.
Yep, I know. But listeners, as for now, we're supposed to occupy till he comes. Occupy. That's why, you know, you don't want to necessarily put off having a baby, you know, put off college, put off, you know, your new career or whatever. Oh, he could come in a few months. What do I do? No, you still want to live life and that. But as you do, you just got to watch and pray. Don't lose track. Stay focused. Stay focused on God. Make sure you're putting God first. And not being caught off guard. Keep your church attendance up. Amen. Like I said, he said, occupy until I come. Don't sit there and look at your watch like that kid looking for the city bus. Waiting at the city bus for the city bus that's supposed to come between 10 minutes before the hour and 10 minutes after the hour. You say, what city are you talking about that does it that way and doesn't just have a fixed route? Mine. Because, like, if you want to call somewhere, you go somewhere in my town and you want to use busing, you got to call them, tell them about what time. And if they can get you around that time, they'll come either 10 minutes before that or 10 minutes after or right at that. It can be anywhere in there. You're supposed to watch and wait and pray. But with Jesus is not dark. Dial-a-ride or, dial-a-van or wait-a-van or, you know, city ride or whatever you want to call it.
I ride.
That's one that you got to, that's a call in one. That's not a fixed route.
Yeah, you got it.
where the fixed route is like, you know when they're going to come. You know when they're going to come and when they're going to be there. In a sense, Jesus is more like the dialer ride because you don't know what minute he's going to get there. And if he doesn't come within 10 minutes after you call, they say they're going to get there, you can't call up to heaven and say, miracle man to heaven, you didn't come in the last 20 minutes. When are you going to be, when are you going to be here? I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm on the other side. I have to get one of the angels. The chariot's broke. I don't know what's going on. Nope, that's not how it's going to work. it's not like that. It's not like waiting for the bus. Because I used to tease, you know, like when they were talking about waiting on the Lord, I used to tease and be like, oh, it's like waiting for the bus. But it's different like that. That's why he said, occupy till I come. If you just keep occupying and doing your own thing, even while the bus is supposed to be there, you'll miss it. You'll miss your bus. And we're supposed to occupy till he comes. And we are supposed to stay awake and pay attention. Because he is coming soon. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Thank you that we would watch and pray, Lord God. We would just watch for your coming. And help us, Lord God, to be prepared as we realize that your coming is very, very, very soon. Thank you that all of these people listening tonight, that they would make the rapture. And I pray, Lord God, that these people are right with you. If they're not, may they give their lives to you right now. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're working on behalf of these people and that every need is met tonight. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. All right. Until... all right, listeners, in terms of sports, as I told you, baseball has announced that regular season will start on July 24th. As of right now, barring any delays, it should be July 24th. Tigers have even released their schedule. It'll be 10 games each with the Twins, the White Sox, the Royals, and the Indians, and then 5 games each with or maybe it's 8-4. Yes, 8-4. 8-8-8-8-32. And then 4 games each with the Reds, the Pirates, the Bruins, the Cubs, and the Cardinals. And that's how the season schedule is going to work, listeners, as of now. And so, folks, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.